Based on a true scary, contains adult themes, language, and all-around scary shit. Listener discretion is advised.
Hi, folks. Welcome to Based on a True Scary. We're back. I mean, I guess we were back last time. This is our second episode, but just excited to be doing it again. This is Trisha, obviously, and I am here, well, virtually here still, with my fabulous co-host, Jake.
What's up? What's going on?
There's a light at the end of the tunnel, it seems like, and things are getting better, you know?
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. You know, the fact that you invited me over today was like a good sign. Like,
yeah, we and Jake have been quarantining and testing, and we considered merging our bubbles. By bubble, I mean me, myself, because I do nothing but sit in my apartment all day, but Jake has a bubble. But we, you know, we decided to still do virtual, but it felt good to almost get together.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm so glad to see your face.
Your face is okay.
That's fair.
Yeah.
And there's actually another fantastic face on this call. Our wonderful guest today. He's a musician, a DJ, and a photographer. Welcome, Eric. How are you doing, Eric?
I'm good. That's like the classic Los Angeles Neapolitan, yeah. Right there.
The second she said DJ, I want to go.
but he fills most of his time as a caterer. Let's hear it for Eric.
He's a bartender.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, no. I mean, all identity crisis aside, thanks for joining us, and thanks for watching what I believe you put it as like the most torturous and stressful thing you've been through, which was watching Open Water.
Yeah. Aside from my like sleep hallucinations last night, I was thoroughly stressed. I just finished the movie in classic form. I procrastinated to the last minute to watch it.
I did too. Don't worry.
Yeah. And I just finished and I'm still like grinding my teeth stressed over this fucking movie.
It's good. You're coming in fresh. That's
yes,
how we like it.
Yes, I'm ready to talk.
Good. Yeah. Well, I'll run through the quick details about the film and we can get into it. So we are doing Open Water today, which came out in 2003. That's depressing because I feel like I remember the marketing for this movie and 2003 is a long time ago.
Yeah, well, also, till you watch the movie and you realize that they definitely used the camera from 2003.
Oh, yeah.
Possibly 1999.
It was a hard watch, we'll put it
that
way.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was written and directed by Chris Kentis. He went on to direct Silent House, that movie with Elizabeth Olsen.
No way.
Oh, which is actually based on a true story. It's on our list. We need to do that one. So, reminder. Budget was $130,000. It grossed $55.5 million at the box office. So this was a big sleeper hit. Rotten Tomatoes critic rating is 71%. Audience is 33%. So
I agree with that.
Yeah, I agree with the audience as well.
But I also agree with the critics.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Like, it probably could have been done better, but like for what they had, it was done really well. I mean,
yeah,
the fact that Eric texted me in the beginning saying this looks stupid, and then by the end he's like, fuck you.
Yeah. I think they accomplished something pretty cool and unique, but like it was not a good movie, so I think that's fair, right?
Yeah.
Metacritic gave it a 63. It's rated R, an hour and 21 minutes. Thank goodness. I love a quick film.
Yeah.
And the truth claim for this is they, you know, obviously lean in here, all marketing, the poster, the trailer, beginning of the film, say that it's based on true events. And then for those of you who never watched this movie or, you know, who didn't watch it, quick synopsis, the Trisha synopsis. So an American couple goes scuba diving while on vacation, only to find themselves stranded miles from the shore in shark-infested waters when the crew of their boat accidentally leaves them behind. And then they get hella shark murdered. And that's the movie.
you nailed it. I mean, yeah. There's, you know.
Well,
you took some liberties, but you know, it's
well, we can talk about we.
Yeah, that's true.
We can elaborate now. So yes,
I also really like the idea of sharks committing murder, not just like eating people, but murdering them. You know,
like kind of torturing them throughout the
like first degree. Like this was premeditated. They
Oh, yeah,
there was spite involved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this isn't manslaughter. Yeah. This is legitimate murder.
Yeah.
I would like to talk about the acting, which in my notes I described as porn acting. Until they were in the water, I thought that it was some of the worst acting I'd ever seen.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, within 10 minutes, there was boobs.
Yes.
There were boobs.
Yeah.
There were boobs.
And it was like completely unnecessary. It was just like, we're on vacation and I'm just going to lay naked in the bed.
Yeah.
Reading a book.
I feel like in that instance, like if you're going to show the boobs for some whatever reason, you have to show the penis as well. They're just naked and comfortable.
Here's the issue, though. I don't know if you guys noticed this, but I noticed this, and it's probably not good to say on record for the rest of my life. But
oh boy!
But her sheet was purposely positioned up over her leg to cover her crotch.
Yeah. I noticed it as well.
We did still see Bush, though.
We did.
So
yes.
I also found it hilarious that, like, okay, so she's laying fully naked on the bed, but then she's not in the mood for sex. But then instead she's like, can we talk instead? It's like, what ancient feminist stereotype book did the writer pull from to write this scene?
It was a strange put together all around. Just and then the bugs splatting in the middle of the night as well.
Yeah,
it's like, that was interesting.
I think that was all filler. That was like,
oh, definitely.
Yeah, you got to get to at least like 90 minutes or 70 minutes. Like, what are you? You only have 40 minutes in the water. What's going on?
Yeah.
Let's
build tension in the bedroom.
Yeah.
Oh, God. We did get the nice setup of Daniel and Susan, our characters' names that I wrote down, and how they're just like busy business people that are working too hard.
Oh, the convos were so fake. Like, did you talk to the crew? Have you talked to the agency? God.
And they made sure to show them with briefcases, just like, they're business people and they need a break. Hence their trip to somewhere tropical. It was never revealed, right? They filmed it in the Bahamas, but like it was just obscure tropical vacation.
Which makes me think most of that budget was just their trip to.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I believe it was only shot by two people, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It was very small from my understanding.
That's what I'm saying is what I'm thinking is just like, well, God, you probably spent more money on just flying people out. But you know what? This isn't really fun to talk about. Yeah, this is what I do for a living. So I'll just change the subject.
Film people.
Yeah, Jake, give us some insight here. Let's break down the budget.
Hollywood insider.
How much do you think Crafty was on that boat?
Well, we were five people, $18 a head. I don't know. It's
I think they got per diems. They better have.
Oh, God.
Well, that's why the first thing I wrote was like, I'm like, did these people do this for a free trip to the Bahamas?
100%.
Yeah.
It's like, we're going to go diving, but here's the catch.
I will say randomly, I assumed that these were all kind of like nobodies in this film. I'd never heard of any of the actors before, but so they get on the boat, right? And they're heading out into the water.
Oh.
I randomly noticed one of the actors on the boat is the dude from Broken Lizard. Because I just watched Club Dread the other night.
And wait, which guy?
Steve Lemmy is his name. So he's Juan in Broken Lizard. In Club Dread. I don't know which one he is in Super Troopers. But this was after Super Troopers. So I guess he was probably just like a friend of the director.
I'm assuming they were all kind of actors who had a couple credits before.
Oh, who is he in Super Troopers? He's like the guy that, Mac.
Yeah. I did not notice him in that. Wow, yeah.
I didn't see him either.
He's uncredited and like, he doesn't have a single line, but he's one of the people on the boat. He's not
free
the guy that forgets his
vacation.
Mask.
Yeah, he got a free dive trip.
Free vacation.
So that's why I'm telling you, that's 100% why we made this movie. Just like, Adam Sandler makes his movies now. Like,
exactly,
I'm sure he was a producer, like gave him like $300 I was like, sure. Yeah, I'll go there. Yeah, sure. Hang out with some friends, shoot something.
Free lunch, sure.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Crafty.
And then I think like the rest of the movie, they're just in the water.
Well, no. Well, we're missing.
We can talk about the incident.
We're talking
before,
about the
new. Before, even oh. before the incident, though, I'd like to bring up, and this was prior to them getting left, obviously. But the guy who was like being real pushy
with a strong New York accent.
Yeah.
It was being real pushy. Like, I think maybe because it was prefaced to like, oh, something bad is going to happen. But like how pushy that guy was, I was like, okay, this guy's really stressing me out.
Yeah.
Little did I know it was going to get so much worse, but that dude really bummed me out.
And he was really into diving. Like, yeah. Like it was like meth for him. You know?
He also kept calling the lady Angel. Like,
yeah.
they got a place for you in heaven, Angel.
Well, let's also go back to the fact that their counting system makes no sense.
Oh my gosh! So this is.
Why would you only count? So if I'm counting right, they're only counting people who have gone in, and the guy came out, and he counted him back in, but he went back in. I'm not really sure how it happened. Either way, you should count only the people on the boat.
There's only 20 people on this boat, right? It's a 20-person boat. It does not take that long to do a quick head count of 20 people. But yeah, one of the crew members, the whole thing is like he's counting them as they're coming back in the water. But people are coming out and going back in.
Yeah.
Was the whole, that's what, by the way, for those of you who didn't watch the film, the whole inciting incident is like one guy didn't bring a mask, so he can't get in the water. Some sad couple comes in because they didn't like it. He wants to borrow their mask, but they have to go in with a buddy. You can't swim alone. So he like bullies the dude into like going back in the water with him.
And come on, you're diving.
Yeah. Just do it. You're diving.
Just do it. You're diving.
I need this. You're an angel.
Yeah. That's how the count is messed up, because then there's an extra two head count, and Danielle and Susan are. They're left behind. Tough times.
Yes.
Anyway, so they're in the water now.
So they're in the water now.
And you got a solid 50, 60 minutes of them in the water.
They're playing with an eel.
There's the eel situation. That was big drama early on.
Yeah.
Oh gosh, it was. I have a question for you guys. So they pop up out of the water, right? And the boat's not there. This is you. Are you not immediately panicking? Like, they don't panic for like 7 hours.
I feel like she wanted to panic and he was very calm about it.
Oh.
Which I'm with you. I mean, I would be panicking if this boat was right next to me and I saw a shark, you know?
Oh, so. Minute, they see a shark and there's still no panic. Like,
yeah, right.
One, even Sam's shark. I'm screaming and crying.
Well, she puts a lot of trust in him, and he trusts himself a lot because he watches a lot of Shark Week.
That's true. Right.
I don't know if you noticed that.
They make a quip too, like, you know, thank God that you watch all this TV. Maybe I won't get so bummed on you in the future for watching all this TV. It doesn't pay off, but I don't know have you ever seen that film, also a true story about the Chilean like soccer team that crashes
alive?
I think that's what it is, where they like crash in the Andes in a plane. Just like jump right into like eating each other.
Yeah, it's alive, yeah. But, how do you not know about alive, Trisha?
I don't know.
Oh man, that's like, it's pretty famous. Like,
I guess it needs to be on our list then.
Well, it's not horror. It's not really horror.
Well, that's why I don't know about it. Look at the skull behind me.
Yeah.
That is scary. They in that movie too, they're also just like, they just went through like this horrific plane crash. Half their homies are dead. And everybody's like joking around and like super chill. It's like, either they're like so well-versed in the art of meditation and they can like really handle themselves in these stressful situations, or like,
you know, those soccer players,
that's right, or those divers, they're breathing, you know, maybe they're just tuned in to like self-control and they're just really,
they're,
you
just
know,
chill yeah. AF. I mean, I have a note here. They see the shark and literally they calmly say, that's all we need right now. Like, you're stranded in those. They might as well just have that as a background sound effect for their emotion level during all of this. I think they get stung by jellyfish, right? And this is like hours later. And that's when finally Susan starts crying a little bit.
Yeah, but she starts. Like, this is post when she decided to drink salt water, because apparently she didn't know that it's bad for you.
Yeah. Well, she did not watch Shark Week.
Yeah, right? Yeah. My bad. Understandable.
The film is very pro Shark Week. I guess they do die though. So spoiler. So maybe it's not that pro. But it's a lot of like, oh, there's a boat, and then wait, the boat doesn't see us. It's that for like a good.
But a lot of no swimming. A lot of we should stay here and not swim towards anything.
Right.
Yeah.
Which then becomes a fight later.
Yes, right. Of course. Yeah. Yep.
That was something I also found interesting was like, again, the fight starts, I think, 7 hours after they've been in the water. Get the fighting over early, guys. 7 hours in, why are you fighting? You're going to die.
It's over the fact that he's like screaming about like the very real situation that they're in. Like he's mad that these people just left him out there to die. And she's like, are you done?
That's the appropriate reaction for once.
Yeah. Are you done? You're not alone out here. Like, it's a little loud, don't you think?
There's that one point where they let go of all the weights on them.
Oh,
like,
yes.
I bet you're going to charge us. I was like, that's funny, but also way too calm for the situation you're
in. Right.
Again, stranded in the ocean.
Right.
Yeah. There's one part where I'm trying to find it. He basically says, like, Daniel says, you know, other people spend their vacations laying around eating and drinking. And I felt personally attacked by that statement.
Like, yeah, we're not eating and drinking salt water in the middle of the ocean, Daniel.
Okay. Am I stranded in the middle of the ocean? No, that's clearly the safer option.
Also, I do love that. I wanted to go skiing.
Yes. Yeah,
that's just yelled randomly.
The whole fight sequence was really brilliant. Like blaming each other, like, this is because of your job. And like man. Guys, I get the frustrations, but like you just got left. Like point it back at the beach where these fucking guys are chilling that have no idea that they left you. Like, you know.
Come together in tragedy.
That's right. Yeah.
There's a few things I learned. One, I would make sure that I pack a flare gun with me. And
While I scuba dive.
Yeah. Just hear me out. But the number one thing I'd make sure I have on me is a compass, so I know which way to swim.
That's what I thought too. Yeah. I was like, oh, I feel like that's got to be kind of a given.
I Googled it takes it's like a normal person takes like 45 minutes to swim a mile. They were out there for longer than 7 hours. They could be swimming one way.
Yeah,
you know.
They were catching the current though. Don't forget that.
That's true. Then they were by that lighthouse. Or buoy or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was just like, they didn't even try.
That was when she chose to share the fact that she had candies.
Yes, that's right. So
They stopped swimming to stop and enjoy this beautiful moment in the water to eat some candies, all while like sharks are popping up and stuff. Like they're totally surrounded. Like, yeah, let's just chill for a second. Like, hold me so I can put these candies back in my bag. Like, no, get the fuck to the buoy, you fucking kooks. What are you doing?
And they had a lot of equipment. They had candies, but no compass. They did, however, have a knife, which was immediately useless because I think Daniel drops it when he gets attacked by the sharks. Is that right after the candies bit? Because she gets attacked first, but it's like just a little bite, and she's okay for a while.
Well, I like that she gets cut, and his first assumption is, you must have brushed across my knife when we were sleeping.
Is that what you call it? That sounds like sexual innuendo. Yeah, yeah, first of all. He's still just getting back because she didn't sleep with him.
My knife. Just had to throw that in there.
Good for you.
Yeah, we'll edit it out.
Borat's really big right now, okay? He's back.
It's true. He did make a comeback.
This is my moment to just say, you know, that Amazon is paying me to be here. Borat 2.
we at one moment we breached about 300 listeners and Amazon called us up and said, hey, you gotta call up Halvo, okay?
we got this Borat guy.
Yeah, we got this Borat. He does an amazing Borat impression.
Don't low our listeners, Jake. We get well over 300. We get like a few hundred more than 300.
Yeah, that's good.
Thank you, Eric. I needed that confidence boost. Where are we? Okay. Well, basically, I mean, where are we? We're still in the ocean.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're basically at the end there. They're floating. They get attacked by the shark.
And then nightfall comes.
Oh, yeah, nightfall.
And a storm, I believe.
Yes.
I think that's why the light was flashing on and off.
Yeah. Well, I was like a little, I was kind of like, because it got really... I mean, I do love this about low-budget films. You're just like, oh, you didn't have to film shit there. You just had to film a couple flashes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
No worry about lights.
So, I mean, that was the part that I was the most excited for, was watching what I thought was inevitably going to be them being devoured by sharks. And we were kind of gypped in the sense that it seemed like during the storm, Daniel was attacked by sharks, but we really didn't get to see any of it. So I was kind of bummed by that.
See, I liked that. Like, that's what got me the most was the fact that it was like fucking like creep, like you just like a Blair Witch, you don't see it, you're just like, oh yeah, what the fuck's going on, like, you know.
I actually liked that too.
Yeah,
well, maybe also because I was so fucking stressed out already. Yeah, that yeah. Like I didn't want to watch anybody get Dude, eaten.
I've seen Eric spend 15 minutes looking for where to eat on the Yelp app and it was stressful. All right, I saw him lose hair. Now imagine an hour and 20 minutes of a shark attack. It's pretty serious.
Hey, man, I've got my spots now, so I don't even use Yelp anymore. But this is a lot more stressful than being like in some new city with Yelp. Yeah, I don't know. I also think like I feel like I always empathize so much when watching movies, like, and with this one, like, I just immediately put myself in that position. Like, I think I was so, what I was so mad about, like, that I had to watch it was like, this is always something like, you know, or not always something, but something that has definitely crossed my mind before of like, what would it be like? And now yeah. I'm living it. Now I'm in it and I'm experiencing it. And that guy is me and that girl is my girlfriend. And like, here we are dying in the ocean. Like,
well, that's weird. Cause I actually had a weirder, I thought the same thing, but you were the guy and I was the girl.
Right.
Just, yeah. Which
beautiful.
Yeah.
Of course you would put me in the position of the guy who dies first.
Yeah. Nailed it.
I think my issue is like I find my life to be so sad and pathetic that I enjoy watching horror movies and I watch people suffer and I'm like, at least that's not me. Okay. So like instead
I get
of
that. Myself, I get that.
I'm just like, well, I guess it could be worse.
I think I'm gonna start going down that path a little more, you know?
Yeah. It makes you enjoy the horror movies better, I think.
I guess so, yeah. I mean, dare I say I got choked up a little bit.
At what point?
It was either the part where she's like letting him drift away.
Yes, I was about to bring that up. Like that is where I kind of respect this movie because I was just that's a good ending. Like,
oh yeah, I thought that was cool. So she wakes up and realizes that he didn't survive the night. And then so she just kind of releases his body into the ocean, which was really sad. And then just like sits there and watches it, which
I would have used the body as a boat.
He gets hit up by a couple sharks, and then I was imagining that. I was like, okay, like imagine you being in this position and you just let your life partner drift away and you're watching them get picked off by sharks.
And you're just, yeah.
And I was just like, fuck, this is so gnarly. Like,
well, and that's why I pictured me being her, because I could see myself letting you go off with the sharks and being okay with it.
Yeah.
Know? Yeah.
It was a very Jack and Rose Titanic moment, yes. You know?
Like, there was, I totally probably could have saved you, but just float off hello.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. It's from love. It's from my heart, if that helps.
Sending you back to the sea.
Well, I've always looked at you as a big giant plank of wood, you know. So
I think the question is just like, which of the two of you would float better?
It's definitely gonna be me.
Yeah, definitely.
I wish, maybe I'm just like not a good person, Eric. Like, I don't know. I didn't get sad at all when the shark started eating his body. You know, I was like, that's sad. But the whole time I'm just like, ooh, now the sharks are developing a taste for human flesh.
Oh my
They're
God.
Gonna go for Susan now.
Yeah, because this, I get that. That's because you're watching a lot more like really darker, gorier horror movies.
It's because I'm a psychopath.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, in fairness, I do this with every movie. Like, I can make myself cry over fucking like a Rodney Dangerfield movie or something.
Like Ladybugs.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, yeah. Although I haven't seen it in a while, but I'm sure I could make myself tear up over, like, you know, something. So, you know, I don't think it means that you're a worse person or anything. I just think that I am a real softy.
Well, no, I mean, don't get me wrong. I will cry. I feel like I cry at weird things. Like, I'll cry at, like, Great British Bake Off because I'm like, they're so nice. Or, like, a video of a baby meeting a puppy for some reason.
Oh, yeah. Dude, what kills me are my sister caught me watching military people surprising their children.
Oh, no.
It was Dunzo. I literally was like, also, I just recently cried watching Edward Scissorhands.
Oh, my God. That cuts deep. No pun intended.
Yeah.
Well, should we move on to
Susan's death? I think we should.
Oh, right.
Yes.
Real quick, let's just touch on Susan's death. So, yes, post depressing Daniel's body being attacked by sharks, she basically just like,
Well, we should also preface too, in between that time, they're showing that they're sending out a search and rescue.
Right, yeah.
That's very, very true.
They give you this glimmer of hope that, like, okay, Daniel's gone, but much like Titanic, and I bet those fuckers did this on purpose to trigger this kind of reaction. It's just like Titanic. They're coming for her. She's going to blow the whistle, you know. And that doesn't happen.
Right.
Nobody shows up.
We should note that the boat crew finds their belongings on the boat. That's how they realize that they're missing. Which, like, I still can't believe that they didn't do a sweep on the boat before. That's exactly it. They didn't realize that their two things of equipment are
missing.
Those
tanks aren't cheap.
No. You don't do a check at the end of the night? It's wild.
Yeah.
But yes, there is that glimmer of hope because it's kind of juxtaposed with like even him getting even his body getting eaten by sharks and her realizing that the sharks are swarming her, right? We see like helicopters flying over the water and you're like, oh, they're going to see her body. But no.
No.
And she just kind of drowns herself, which that's got to be difficult.
Yeah. Yeah. And she lost all of her weights, you know, so she
I guess, I don't know, like how long she was in the water. Maybe she just gave up, you know?
Yeah.
You physically can't
hold yourself up. Like,
right.
Yeah. Yeah. Once you take off that tank, like there's no, you're 24 hours in, like dehydrated, you know, exhausted. I'm sure she just was like, yeah.
She just stopped swimming, or she just offered herself as tribute to the sharkies.
Well,
yeah, like,
take me to your sharky leader.
Hard to say, but I will say that I was furious. It's like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. That's how it ends.
Well, dude, let's really quick. Let's talk about the post credit sequence though.
Oh, so
just get this in as like a nice.
Yeah.
So yeah, it basically fades to black after that. And then we get, I guess it's a during the credit sequence of them, you know, until they pulled that camera out. Oh, another kitty.
This is Pluto.
Hi, Pluto.
Okay.
It's like, I did not, this is not in my contract. I was not on camera talent.
She's also paid by Amazon, so.
That's great.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry. Distracting.
How dare you? But no, when they start cutting that shark open, it looked super real to me until they pulled that camera out. I assumed that this was just going to be like a credit sequence where they were showing fishermen gutting sharks.
Wait, was it that? What?
It was definitely real.
I turned it off because I was like,
this. Shake.
Yeah.
Missed. So they gut this shark. So you think it was a real shark and then they just somehow.
They had to. No.
Yeah. So they cut it open. They defin it, all that gnarly stuff. And then he pulls out like a fish head. And I'm sure after they had, like, there was a cut somewhere in the edit where they had placed, which is so gross, like they placed.
Oh,
the camera
inside of the guts.
Inside
that
the
movie
guts,
magic.
Yeah.
But yeah, Jake, they pull a camera out of a shark's.
I remember watching the first time around. Now I remember them pulling it out. Yeah.
As I told Jake too, I was very excited because I actually own that camera.
No way.
Yes. I love it. It's amazing. And
it's like an underwater camera.
Yeah. I found it in some like middle of nowhere Georgia camera store, and I gave the guy $50 for it, and it's really fantastic.
That's nice. Wild. See, you were meant to watch this movie after all, Eric.
Yes. Yeah, that was the one redeeming thing. It was like, well, somebody found this camera in a shark's belly, and there was a metaphor.
It was actually
there.
That camera.
Yes.
Yes.
And it was that
camera. Then I bought.
Camera.
Yeah.
Well, if you guys are ready, we can move into the question portion of the podcast. So, Eric, just so you know, Jake has done zero research on this. I know you told us before the recording that you have done a little bit. But hopefully you haven't dived in too deep because I'm going to ask you guys questions about whether or not certain things in the movie are true or false, and you can let me know what you think. So,
okay.
Trish is good at finding those like weird articles that has like more details than the Wikipedia.
It's true. Okay. I do go beyond Wikipedia for this. Yeah. As I mentioned before, I have no life anymore. So bodes for time for research.
Perfect.
All right. So let's heat up the competition here. Jake, Eric, you guys ready?
Let's do this.
Should I go easy on him?
Oh.
Wow, this is up to you.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Fuck it. I'm gonna fuck you up.
Just fucking destroy him.
Yeah. Let's
go. All right. Question one. We're gonna start off broad and easy here, okay? Now, do you guys think that an American couple got stranded while on a scuba diving trip on vacation?
No.
Yes. Damn it.
Wait, really? It is true.
What?
Wait, is it?
Yeah.
Yes. Wait, Eric, you read the Wikipedia?
I guess I didn't read where they were from, but I know where it happened.
Oh, all right. Well, okay. Let me tell you. So the couple, Tom and Eileen Lonergan. Oh, Lord knows I'm so bad.
Yeah, I had some trouble reading the name.
Too. Oh, good. So they're an American couple from Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Oh.
They were vacationing in Queensland, Australia after serving a year together in the Peace Corps in Fiji.
See, these could have all been questions that I knew.
Well, I really hope I can get you after this question. But so on January 25th, 1998, they boarded a boat for a scuba diving trip conducted through the Outer Edge Company, and they were going to explore St. Crispin's Reef, which is a popular dive site on the Great Barrier Reef, about 25 miles off the coast of Queensland. Tom and Eileen were left stranded in the water while the boat returned to shore after about 45 minutes of dive time with nobody the wiser. Tom was 33 and Eileen was 28. So it was true.
It's pretty tragic.
It is very unfortunate.
Yeah.
All right. Question two. So in the movie, we talked about how the boat is only a 20-person boat. Would have been really easy to count. Do you guys think that in real life, the boat was only a 20-person boat?
Oh, gosh.
Oh, that's a weird one. That's like a little too... I'm going to say no. But I can see how not like being away from America, there's probably little shady rules when it comes to it. And that's probably how it happened. But I'm just going to shut up now and let Eric think.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying that's false?
False.
That it was not a 20-person. Okay.
Well, technically, forget it. I'm doing the math wrong in my head.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to say no as well.
Okay, double false. You guys are correct. It is
false. Yeah.
It's not much better. So it was a 26-person boat.
That's what I thought,
And it was totally full. So there were 26 passengers on the day. Going to go ahead and say still no excuse. That is not a lot of people. You could have just counted them.
I feel like they never counted and they got busted. And they were like, well, why the hell didn't you count it? Like, well, we only count people going in and out.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah. From my understanding, what little I did read was that. Oh. Yeah.
So I have the next question, so you will know.
Well, you don't know what I was going to say.
Well, yeah, apparently he didn't think this was true. So.
Was it about how the count was performed?
No. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, we'll see. We'll see after this question. Yeah. So question number three. We saw in the movie that, you know, the count basically got messed up because a couple came in and then two people went back out again. Do you think that in real life, the count got messed up because a couple came back and went out again?
That has to be true because it's the only way that this happens. Like, they're that dumb.
I don't know how else you could fuck it up. I'm going to say no, though, just to
fair.
To spite Jake.
All right. Well, it is true.
Mm.
So there wasn't the whole deal with the guy with the mask like in the movie, but according to transcripts from the lawsuit that obviously happened after this, the Outer Edge boat skipper, whose name was Jack Narn, he said that he ordered one of the 5-member crew to carry out the count as is protocol, but he claims that, quote, the numbers had become confused because two passengers had jumped back into the water halfway through the dive period. So,
and that's exactly my point. That is a lawyer told them to say that.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm mad.
Well, what I was going to say was that,
can't wait,
because of this happening, it obviously there were massive repercussions in the world of diving.
Yes, absolutely.
And that they I'm sure had to come up with much stricter rules, like double checking. Hey, what a concept.
Just like a simple quick second count.
That is, and hopefully this is not part of your questioning, but that is one thing that stuck out to me in the Wikipedia page, was that it was like it transformed the diving, you know, community's like protocols or whatever, in that two people had to cross-reference their counts. And it's like, are you fucking kidding me? Like that's not a given.
Right. How, like, was this not done in the first place?
Yeah.
Wait, what do you mean?
Two people had
to count.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay. So what I was thinking was there's a really easier way to do this, or actually that's probably easier what you said, but like, don't partner up with the only person, you know, like I should partner up with a stranger. So when that stranger comes back, he's like, oh, so-and-so's not back with their wife.
Or just fucking count the heads.
Or count the heads. Count the heads. Fair enough.
I mean, like, don't force a couple to not dive with each other.
All right, well, I'll stop my email to the senator. So okay, good, fine. Good.
All right, moving on. So in the film, we see that they drop their diving weights because they were too heavy. Do you think that in real life, Tom and Eileen dropped their diving weights?
Sure. I don't care.
I'll say yes as well.
Yeah.
Yes, and Jake's mad about it.
Yeah,
guys, Did you realize that the question and research portion of this was really difficult considering we have no fucking idea what happened to that water, right?
That's true, yeah.
This was a tough one for me. So it is true. The next day, so the divers on the same boat went out and they discovered 6 diving weights at the bottom of the ocean floor. When they brought them back to the boat, the crew members were like, ooh, this is a nice bonus find. And nothing else was thought about it. It's good to note that at this point, you know, obviously nobody knew that Tom and Eileen were left out there or were even missing, but experts assume that Tom and Eileen dropped the weights so that they could use the empty dive belts to bind themselves together so that they wouldn't float apart. That's why they think they did it.
Jesus.
I know. Talk about depressing.
Yes.
All right. Next question. You guys ready?
No. Just kidding. Go for it.
Crazy times over here. All right. In the movie, we see that the boat crew discovers their stuff on the boat, and that's how they realize they're missing. Do you think that in real life, the crew discovered their stuff on the boat?
And so this one hurts me because why didn't they discover missing tanks?
It's possible. Maybe that's what happened.
But
or anything else.
I'm going to say no. I'm going to go down.
Okay. So you think it's false. You think they did something else. Okay.
Yeah, no means false. Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm going to say yes, they did find stuff.
Okay. So Eric says true. Okay. It is true.
Nice, Eric. Yes. Got your first point.
Good job. So
that's not true.
Yeah, I think he's got a little bit.
Are you not counting?
No.
I'm counting right now.
We trust that you're counting.
I think we're tied right now.
No, I've only counted when one of us was right and one of us was wrong. And I'm right twice and you're wrong once.
What?
we both got one right together.
I have two right, and you have one right without us both getting it right at the same time.
Jake, I'm going to say is that you are false, not allowed to count people on votes.
Yeah. I think we'll have to let the viewers decide who wins.
The logic is there, okay?
The listeners are keeping track. All right, yeah. So I'll tell you what happened. So it wasn't until 2 days later, so it wasn't the next day like in the movie, but 2 days later, the skipper of the boat, Jack Nairn, found a bag containing the Lonergan's wallet and passports, on the boat. And this obviously raised some alarm bells. Experts believe that by that time, Tom and Eileen were probably already dead. But still, a massive search party was launched, both air and sea rescue teams. They said that everyone from the Navy to just random civilians with vessels took part in the search. It went on for 3 days, but Tom and Eileen's bodies were never found.
Damn.
Yep.
Well, I'm never going to the fucking ocean again. That's fair.
Yeah, just don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. It seems like a bad idea. All right. Yeah. Moving on. Next question. Do you guys think that similar to the credit sequence, somebody found a dive camera inside a shark?
No.
I'm also going to say no.
All right, fine. It's false. But I will say this is actually interesting. Several months after the couple was stranded at sea, a fisherman 100 miles north of the diving site found a dive slate, which is essentially, it's like a slate that divers use to write on so that they can communicate with each other underwater. On the dive slate, in wobbly handwriting that had been faded for months of being in the water, was the message, quote, Monday, January 26, 1998, 8 a.m. To anyone who can help us, we've been abandoned on the Agincourt Reef by Outer Edge on January 25th, 1998 at 3 p.m.
Jesus.
Please help us. Come rescue us before we die. Help with 3 exclamation points.
It's so fucked up.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
You know what's weird about this? That one was, we've done some fucked up movies. Like we've done like people being, women like, what's the one with the girl in the basement and the mom?
The girl next door. That.
Yeah. Like we've done some fucked up things, and like, yeah, I'm like, I'm not okay with it. But this one's weird because like, no one's the killer. This is just like a mistake.
Yeah.
You know,
it's just so frustrating.
Yeah.
It just irks you so much because you're just like, someone just fucked up.
Yeah.
So hard.
Yeah.
It's also super, like, not only is that message grim, but like it appears that to show that they at least survived through the night. So it starts with Monday, right. January 26th at 8 a.m., which you got to assume is when they wrote it. So they've been in the water, like they at least survived that long.
Yeah.
It's right. got to be just awful.
Yeah. Not only did somebody fuck up and is that super frustrating, but just the idea like of how badly these people most likely suffered. Oh, yeah. It's just so heartbreaking.
All right, everybody take a shot. okay, we only have only one more question and then our suffering will end. Are you guys ready?
Yes.
Okay. Do you think that it was ever ruled or assumed that Tom and Eileen were killed by sharks, since the movie clearly seems to insinuate that that's what happened?
The fact that you have to ask that, I'm going to say no.
Yeah, I know the answer, and I'm also going to say no.
God damn it, Eric. Well, yes, so it's, yeah, it is false. So clues as to what happened to the couple ended up washing up on the shore, including a wetsuit that was Eileen's size, which was found on the shore in Queensland in early February. So, you know, a couple weeks later or so. Scientists measured the speed of the barnacle growth on the zipper, and they were able to estimate that it was lost in late January. So it's assumed it was hers. And then it also had small tears in the material around the rear and the armpit, but those were ruled to have been caused by light coral scrapings, likely when it was washing on the shore. Nothing more nefarious. Then an inflatable dive jackets marked with Tom and Eileen's names were later washing up on shore in Port Douglas, along with their tanks, which still had remnants of air in them, one of Eileen's fins. None of that showed any signs of severe damage, nothing about shark bites. So, you know, people were like, these were not the victims of a shark attack. At least none of their gear showed that. Experts rather speculated that the couple may have been driven delirious by dehydration in the sun, that they likely would have taken their dive jackets off and then would have only been able to tread water for very long. So kind of like what, Eric, you were saying in the movie. So they basically just assumed that they drowned to death. There are, interestingly enough, some theories that the couple faked their deaths or that they committed suicide.
Yeah, this stuff is crazy.
Yeah, this is super interesting. So they based this theory on the fact that there was histories of depression in both of them, and they also uncovered entries in Eileen's diary that talked about, you know, wanting to die peacefully or just like depressing, almost like sad suicidal thoughts, but obviously none of these are remotely proven to be true. Additionally, Outer Edge and the skipper, Jack Nairn, were charged with manslaughter. And it was during the trial that Eileen's diary and these theories of them contemplating suicide were brought to light by that defense team, obviously. So that was their argument to defend the company. And the skipper was like, oh, they planned this. And their families were rightfully super pissed.
Yeah.
But in the end, so the skipper, Jack, was found not guilty, but his business, Outer Edge, was given a hefty fine after they pled guilty to unlawful negligence. And then after all the fines, the Outer Edge business, pun intended, ended up going under.
Oh! Thank you so much,
ladies and gentlemen.
That was, I know you wrote that and looked at it for at least 4 hours going, should I say it? I'm glad you did.
Writer.
I'm glad you did.
That was really good. Thanks, really good.
Thanks, you guys. So sweet.
Very nice.
Okay.
My knife. Yeah. So that is the story of Tom and Eileen. Oh God, their last name. Lonergan. Lonergan. Yeah.
Oh yeah, man.
Not fun times.
No, that's heartbreaking.
So. Gentlemen, now that you know the real story and you've seen the movie, we can rate 1 through 10 out of 10 on how accurately we think the movie portrayed the real story. And then obviously is a little tough, but Jake, do you want to go first?
Yeah, sure. I don't know. I'll say 5.
Wow.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I'm going to give it a 2.
Really?
What?
Well, I feel like a lot of it's true, minus shark attacks.
I guess.
I mean, you have to minus the fact that, like, we don't know what happened in the water?
Yeah, as far as what we do know, I would say it was like on the nose.
Yeah, I'd bet more money on that there were sharks than it would. I guess if you're given two options, eaten by sharks or they kill themselves.
Just drowned and went crazy.
I guess I go 50%. Like, I don't know.
All right, fine. Okay, we'll up it. I'll be generous. I'll do a 5 as well. Okay. I guess you also have to factor in the fact that this is Queensland, Australia, and like there are sharks out there. Like the Great Barrier Reef.
They could have been stung by some fucking crazy box jellyfish. Like there's a million things out there just waiting to kill two Americans.
Yeah,
it's true. I think that's Australia's slogan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
There's shit waiting to kill you.
No, ready to kill Americans. The sea.
Yeah. I'm gonna say, I was gonna say a 10, but you did raise the point that, like, well, we don't know if the sharks were actually there. So I'm gonna say an 8, just because as far as like the whole plot of the movie goes, like I said, it says on the nose as it can be. We just don't know what, like, most of them.
Yeah, a lot of the intense parts were clearly made up. Like, we don't know what's happening with them. Like,
but I feel like so much more of the psychological, like, mind fuck wasn't even about the sharks. It's just the fact that they're stranded at sea.
Which did happen. Yeah.
And the fact that we know that they were alive, you know, a day after, and we're writing messages and stuff, like, all of that to me is more gnarly than like the shark stuff was. Like you could have made that movie without the sharks and I still would have been absolutely miserable.
Right.
So like, I think they did a pretty good job. And like, I feel like it's probably pretty on point whether they got eaten by sharks or not.
Fair. And that's a really good segue to now we can rate the film 1 through 10 out of 10 if you liked it. So Eric, what do you think? Did you like it?
I'm gonna side with the critics and the Rotten Tomatoes. I hated it, and I also thought it was okay. It was decent.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. I'm the same way. I'm like, you know what? Like, will I watch it again? Maybe. You know, like, but
no way.
But in the end, like, yeah, there's problems with it. Like, you know, the movie itself, it probably could have been trimmed up and whatnot. But yeah, no, it was good. It was good.
Yeah, I guess I'm the same. I love shark movies. I've been fascinated with sharks ever since I was a little kid. So I kind of almost wanted there to be more shark elements. But I mean, yeah. They achieved something new and interesting, but it was also, for me, funny enough, kind of boring. So I would give it like a 5, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair.
Well, Eric, thank you so much for doing this. While you have a microphone in front of you, is there anything that you'd like to promote that you're doing for our listeners that they should partake in? Or?
Only because this is the only thing I've really done recently is that there's a couple of episodes of this kind of alter ego DJ character that was birthed long before quarantine, but you know, in the boredom of all of this, I've kind of adapted into this like green screen ridiculous show, and that exists only on my Instagram TV because copyright claims won't allow me to put it on YouTube. and I certainly can't pay for it, or I can't charge anybody for it. So only because that's the only thing I've really done recently, you can watch these things. The character is called Ted Lavender, and it exists on my Instagram, and I feel like this is the hokiest promotion of all time.
So we'll write your Instagram down, but what is your Instagram handle?
It's I am Eric Halverson.
Perfect.
Yeah. So yeah, that's all I've got.
Sweet.
Thanks for having me. That was a lot of fun. Sort of.
Good.
The movie part not so much, but I enjoy talking to anybody these days.
It's true. Any form of human connection, I think, is nice.
Absolutely. Jake, it was nice to see you.
It's nice seeing you, hello.
You hear me? And wow. Trisha, it was lovely to meet you.
Okay,
and,
there we go. Thank you.
Oh, hello, are you still there?
Sure. Can you hear me?
Oh, we can hear you.
Yeah.
Hold on, just a sec. Bob, are you on the internet? Oh, okay. I don't know what's going on.
I like the fact that I am in a fantasy football league with two of your ex-band members, like two separate leagues.
Who do you got, Andrew and Nick?
Andrew and Nick, yeah. Nick, who has the corona.
Oh, yes. Jesus. Yes, he does.
Yeah.
Poor guy, but it seems to be doing just fine.
George just got it too.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. It's kind of a big deal again.
Well, let's just sign off real quick and then we can do chatty stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah, thanks so much again, Eric, and thank you guys for listening. We hope you're staying safe and staying sane, and yeah, have happy holidays. I don't know. Nobody's going to have happy holidays.
Thanks for having me, guys. And it was great to meet you, Trisha and Jake. It was good to see you. And, you know, maybe we can do this again sometime in person.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks, guys. All right. Yeah. We'll pass.
Yeah.
Well, until next time, folks, thanks again. Bye.
Later.
Bye.